We begin the book of Titus, a very short book, only three chapters, as we come towards the end of Paul's epistles. Titus is much like Timothy in that he was a young minister, another son in the faith to Paul, and Paul is writing to Titus concerning the church and the proper orders within the church. Tonight we'll be studying the first chapter of Titus. This morning we'd like to draw your attention to verse 16. As Paul talking about the Jews of his day, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. They profess that they know God. I had an uncle who was perhaps one of the most reprobate men that I ever knew. Among other things, he was an alcoholic. And I used to try to witness to him. And whenever I would witness to him, he would say, "I know God. I say my prayers every night." And yet he lived a reprobate life. And I thought, he is like so many people in the world today who say, "Well, I know God. I pray every night." And in cases like this, prayer becomes a deceptive thing. Because people realize, I'm not living as I should live. I'm not doing the things that I should do, but at least I pray. And they think that now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep, is going to, you know, cover all of the evil that they have done during the day. They profess that they know God, but in their works, they deny him. Now, the tragedy is that many of those people who profess to know God really think that they do. Many of them have a form of godliness. They have certain little religious routines that they go through, religious acts that they perform. This was true of the Jews in Jesus' day. They went through the rites, they went through the rituals, and they thought that they knew God and were living a life that was pleasing to God. We read that Jesus one day, when he was talking to them, said, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. But it is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say that he is your God, yet you have not known him." Now here they are, very religious people, religiously keeping the traditions of the fathers, religiously following after the rituals of religion, and believing and thinking that they know God. And Jesus said, "You do not know me, and you do not know the Father. You say that he is God, yet you have not known him." But Jesus said, "I know him. And if I should say I don't know him, I would be a liar just like you. But I know him, and I keep his sayings." What is the proof of really knowing God? Obedience. Keeping the word of God. I wonder if Jesus might be saying to some here this morning, "You say that I am your Lord. You say that you know me. But how is it that you're not obeying me? How is it that you are engaged in things that I have commanded you not to do, and yet you are doing them?" and still you call me Lord. It is one thing to know of God, and quite another thing to know God. Many people who profess to know God only know of God. Yes, I believe that God exists. How can you explain all of the life forms apart from design and recognizing there's a designer? And they say that they believe that God does exist and that God gave us the Bible and that Jesus is the Son of God, and they profess to believe these things. And yet, their lives don't measure up. In their works, they deny the very things that they profess to believe. There is a man in the Old Testament who is a very interesting enigma. His name was Balaam. He was called a prophet. And as you read the story, it would seem that God did speak to him and God spoke through him. In fact, some of the most amazing prophecies concerning the coming of the Messiah were uttered by this man. Important truths that we hold today and we quote today come from this prophet Balaam. God is not a man that he should repent, nor the son of man that he should lie. Hath he not spoken, and shall he not make it good? That came from Balaam, this man who was a prophet who spoke to God and God spoke to him. And yet, though he knew God, in the final outcome, by his works, he denied him. Three times Balaam is mentioned in the New Testament, and all three times he is mentioned in a negative light. Peter, speaking of him, said that people have forsaken the right way and they've gone astray from God, as they follow the way of Balaam, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Jude, speaking of him, said, "Woe to them, because they have gone the way of Cain, and they have run greedily after the error of Balaam for reward." You see, the king of Moab, Balak, knew the reputation of Balaam, that he was a prophet of God, that he was able to put curses and hexes on people. And when the children of Israel were coming through his land, he wanted them cursed. And so he called for Balaam to come from Mesopotamia to curse these people, offering him a tremendous wealth if he would just come and curse the people. When Balaam finally came and attempted to put a curse on the people, it didn't work. As he spoke blessings rather than cursings. He prophesied of the glory of Jacob. He prophesied of the coming Messiah. Until finally King Balak became angry. And he said, "I brought you here to curse them, and you have done nothing but bless them. I intended to make you a very wealthy man, but your God has kept you from the riches." And this is where Balaam turned. He saw the great riches that the king was promising, and he didn't want to lose them. So he said, "Now I told your servants that I can't curse those that God has blessed. But I'll tell you what, King, I can tell you how to bring a curse on them. You see, the God that they serve is a very jealous God. He doesn't want them worshiping any other gods. And so if you will send the people down to invite them to their houses for dinner, And as they come into the homes, have the people bring out your gods, the little idols that you worship, and say to them, these are the gods that we serve and worship. Would you like to see and participate in our worship? And as you get them participating in the worship of your gods, their God, who is a jealous God, will smite them. Send the young girls down to flirt with the guys. Get them all excited. And when they get them in bed, then have them bring out their little goddesses and say, these are the gods that we worship. Would you like to see how we worship our gods? And get them to worshiping the goddess of fertility, the goddess of sex. And as you do, their God will smite them. And so King Balak followed the advice of Balaam, and the anger of God was kindled against the nation of Israel, and they began to drop like flies as a result of the plague. He professed to know God, but yet in this dastardly work, he denied God. Balaam would speak about God. He spoke about knowing God. He spoke about God in spiritual terms. Numbers 24:15. And Balaam took up this parable. And he said, Balaam, the son of Beor, hath said, the man whose eyes are open, he which heard the words of God and knew the knowledge of the Most High. My eyes of understanding concerning God were open. I knew the knowledge, he said, of God, which saw in a vision of the Almighty, who falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not soon. And there shall come a star out of Jacob, that is the Messiah Jesus. And a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy the children of Sheth. He claimed to know God, but in practice, he denied God. Though he claimed to know God, he did such evil things. And there's an inconsistency here. In the Proverbs, we read, be not wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and depart from evil. The Bible tells us that they that do fear the Lord do depart from evil. The prophet Hosea testified of the nation of Israel and of God's coming judgment upon them. And this is the reason why God was going to judge them. Because they have transgressed, God said, my covenant. They've trespassed against my law. Israel will cry unto me, my God, we know thee. When they're in trouble, when they're facing the calamity, when they're facing the judgment of their enemies, they're going to cry and say, oh God, we know thee. But Israel has cast off that which is good, and the enemy shall pursue him. For they have set up kings, but not by God. They made idols out of their silver and gold. They professed to know God, but in their works they denied him. What do you think that God is most interested in your life? Your profession or your practice? You say you know God, but in reality, that doesn't cut it. It doesn't make it. If in your works you are denying him. John the Baptist said, bring forth fruit that shows that you have repented. You know, a lot of times fellows come to me totally distraught. Their marriage has gone to pieces. They have promised over and over again that they would change, that they would be different, that they would be loving, and they would be caring and so forth. But Maybe it works for a week or two and they lapse right back into the same old rut. Until the wife finally says, I've had it. Get out. Oh, well, I'll change. No, I've heard that before. Get out. Oh, but really, I promise I'll... you've said that to me. I've had it. So they'll come and they'll be all upset. They'll say, Chuck, would you call her and say that I've really changed this time? I said, forget it, man. How can I say that? I don't know that you've changed. But she trusts you and she really respects you, Chuck. And if you'll just call her, I know that you... Forget it. Bring forth fruit that shows repentance. You know, you've lied to her so many times. Give her some space. Demonstrate that you've really changed. I can't call and say that you have. I don't know that you have. Oh, but I really have. Well, you've told her that many times, haven't you? And so John is saying, look, let your life be consistent with your words. You profess to know God, but in your works, you're denying God. The things that you are doing is a denial of what God wants us to do and what God wants us to be. So many people are deceived because they can talk the right talk. And because they can talk the right talk, somehow they think that they're okay. James is so practical. He said, be doers of the word and not hearers only. And in illustrating that, he said, if a brother or a sister is naked and in need of food, and you say to him, go in peace, brother, be warm and be full. And yet if you don't give him some food or clothes, what does it profit him? Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. A man may say, you have faith and I have works. Well, you show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You say that you believe that there is one God? The devils believe that, and they tremble before him. So many times a person, well, I believe in God, and they think that, wow, you know, great, wonderful. You believe in God. Isn't that great? Surely, you know, you must be just all right. No, the devils believe in God. They tremble before him. To say that you believe in God is not enough. It has to be followed up in a life that is consistent with God. John wrote, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deeds and in truth. Words are cheap. You can say anything. What really counts is the life behind it. How are you living? They profess to know God, Paul said, but in their works they deny him. There's a total inconsistency. They say one thing, but they do another. And there are many people today who are denying God by the way that they live. I knew a man who was an officer in the church. Carried a big Bible, one of the biggest Bibles you could buy. He carried three Bibles, so that he could compare the different translations. And yet, outside of the church, this man was known as a dishonest businessman. And he provided women for his clients. Said he knew God, but by his works, he denied God. How are they denying God by their works? Well, he said they were abominable. Now, the word abominations is a word that is used throughout the Bible to describe the worship of false gods. when the people would worship false gods, God would say, that's an abomination unto me. The nation of Israel was constantly committing these abominations. They were constantly turning from the true God and getting into idolatry and the worship of false gods. There were the constant rebukes because they were worshiping Ashtoreth, the female goddess of sex. Their minds were filled with pornography. And yet they said they knew God, but they were guilty of abominations, getting into and lusting after the pornography. There was an interesting case with the prophet Ezekiel. The nation had gone into captivity because of these abominations. And the Lord said to Ezekiel, or Ezekiel said, he brought me to the door of the court. And when I looked, I saw a hole in the wall. And he said unto me, son of man, dig in the wall. And when I dug in the wall, I saw a door. And he said, go in and behold the wicked abominations that are going on here. So he said, I went in and I saw all kinds of filthy pictures, trash, pornography painted all over the walls. And I saw the leaders of the people gathered there, and they were looking at all of this pornographic filth. And then God said to me, I have taken you into the minds of the leaders that you might see what are their thoughts, the imagery of their hearts. So this wall was the skull, and God said, I've taken you inside, and you've seen the minds, the filth that's in the minds of the leaders of the nation. It's an awesome thing to realize that God can go right in and see your mind. In profession, you might profess to know God, but in reality, in your works, you deny him. They denied God by their disobedience. He was not really the God of their lives. Jesus was not truly the Lord. In fact, Jesus said, why do you call me Lord and yet you don't do the things I command you? And this is such a common thing. They profess to know God, but in their works they deny him. He is not really the God of their life. They speak of God, oh, well, God this and all, but he isn't really the God of their life. They are worshiping false gods. There are images and idols that are in their minds, and they're worshiping sex, or they're worshiping power or money or other things, and they're disobedient unto the Lord. If I truly know him, then I will be obeying him. And they denied him by disobedience. And then in their works, the Bible says they were reprobate. The word reprobate in the Greek is a word that was used for a counterfeit coin. It had the appearance of being real, but it was phony. And so God says they have an appearance of being righteous, but they're phony. They're counterfeit. Now, David, the psalmist, said, O God, you've searched me. And you know me. You know everything about me. You know every thought that I think. Such knowledge is too great for me. I can't attain it. God, you know more about me than I know about myself, is basically what he is saying. And then he said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be a wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. God, you have searched me. You know me. Now, Lord, show me the truth. Paul encourages us to examine ourselves. For he said, if we will judge ourselves, we will not be judged of God. Is it possible that you are one of those that Paul was speaking about in the church who professed to know God, but by your works, you actually are denying God? That you've allowed other gods to supersede your love for him? That he's not really first in your life? That you have disobeyed and do disobey his commandments? And that you've become counterfeit? We need to make an honest evaluation of ourselves. In fact, we need to do as David, ask God to give us his evaluation. We might even err in our own judgment of ourselves, but God, you judge me. You show me. Show me, Lord, if in my works I'm denying you. Show me if there's an inconsistency between my profession and my practice. And help me, Lord, to know and serve you in truth. Father, we do ask that you would help us today, because we don't want to be deceived. As James warns, when he tells us to be doers and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. Lord, because we can say the right things, don't let us be deceived into thinking that we're all right if we're doing wrong things. Lord, eternity is too important that we should miss out being with you. And so, Lord, help us to realize the seriousness of our walk matching our talk. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? You say you know God. Wonderful. We need to know God. But does your life measure up to what you profess? Are you demonstrating that knowledge of God in a life of righteousness, or are you denying God by your works, by the things you're doing? May the Holy Spirit bring conviction upon each of our hearts so that the walk may match the talk this week. Make a new commitment. I'm going to walk in the ways of the Lord. I'm going to do those things that please him. I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to get rid of the false gods. If you have X-rated videos or whatever, I encourage you, go home and get rid of them. If you got pornographic magazines, get rid of them. Cleanse your mind, your heart, your life. Bring forth fruit that shows that there is a change. May God set you free. And may you obey and not be a counterfeit, not be reprobate, but true and genuine in your walk with Him.